வக்ரதுண்ட மகாகாய சூர்யகோடி சமப்ரபா நிர்விக்னம் குரு மே தேவ சர்வகாரியேஷு சர்வதா சிவசக்த்யா யுக்தோ யதி பவதி சக்தஹ ப்ரபவிதும் நச்சே தேவம் தேவோ நகலு குஷலஹ ஸ்பந்திதுமபி அதஸ்த்வாமாராத்யா ஹரிஹர விரிஞ்சாதிபிரபி ப்ரணந்தும் ஸ்தோதும் வா கதமக்ருத புண்யஹ ப்ரபவதி.
Shri Sai Ram. At the outset, my most loving and prayerful salutations at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listener, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning. Greetings and loving Sai Ram on this Thursday on the 9th of April 2020, and you're with me Team Radio Sai Sunil welcoming you to this morning's segment Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam. Today in Divine Glory we'll first listen to a special message from Mr. R.J. Ratnakar, the Managing Trustee of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust Prashanthinilayam, followed by readings from the English version of the holy book, Sri Sai Satcharitra. Mr. R.J. Ratnakar, the Managing Trustee of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, in this talk, shares his reflections about the current pandemic, even as he clearly outlines the steps taken by the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust to reach out to society in these troubled times. Let us first listen to this special message.
Om Shri Sai Ram. As you all know, whole humanity is facing a very difficult time due to this medical emergency. In this current situation, I just would like to say a few things which we are doing at Prashanthinilayam. The inspiration of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the love and blessings which he has bestowed upon us. We are an organization, we are an institution which is known for its service, which is known for its humanitarian activity in the world. Keeping that in view, the moment this medical emergency has arisen, we all came together, even the trust we discussed, and everybody unanimously agreed that we must in our own way participate in any manner to support the efforts of government, be it local, be it state level, be it at a national level. We must become part of a solution for current crisis. Prashanthinilayam is situated in Anantapur district, Andhra Pradesh. So we felt that we must immediately do something for the brothers and sisters who live in and around Prashanthinilayam and also people who live in these districts. So as part of our plan, We initially started a quarantine and isolation center in our super specialty hospital in Puttaparthi. Perhaps we are one of the very first charitable organizations to come forth and establish in a quarantine and isolation center. We are planning to do a 100 bed total. But right now we have already completed a 50 bed quarantine and isolation center and made available to the district administration. With our own hospital directors and medical superintendents, came together and finalized a list of medical supplies that would require for almost another 14 quarantine and isolation centers, roughly about 1400 beds. Supplies which will last for almost for a 6 weeks time, because many of them who are in the health field, medical field, even others who are paramedical staff, they need protective gears, they need safety equipment, they need sanitizers, they need disinfectants. I'm sure Swami is very happy and will bless us all for this work which He Himself has started several decades ago. He would be a proud father. I am very sure he will be a proud father that his children also are following in the footsteps. It's also a matter of great relief for the people of the district that an organization like Satya Sai organization has come forward. There's a lot of goodwill. The very news when it got out that we are willing to come, and in fact there was a press release from the collectorate when I wrote a letter to them that we are willing and we are placing the orders. And that has created so much of positivity and a feeling of, you know, anything from Prashant Inlam, anything from Satya Sai, they feel that a solution is coming their way. That is the way Swami and Swami's works are viewed. The moment Satya Sai has stepped in, they feel there is a solution. That is the beauty of this organization. That is the credibility with which Swami established this beautiful institution. In monetary terms, it's coming out to around approximately around 2 crore rupees. Honorable Prime Minister Sri Narendra Modi ji had invited almost 15 to 16 social welfare organizations and religious organizations on a video conference. The inspiring talk which he gave about the nation, about the requirement of charitable institutions and social welfare institutions to participate. Of course, many of the participants expressed the safety of the volunteers in the process. So we were at dilemma. In fact, I spoke to our All India President, Nimish Pandya. We were at dilemma. How do we say that you go out and give, you know, do service? But fortunately, in this current video conference meeting with the Prime Minister, we got a direction saying, at least you can ask your people to provide food to a lot of people who are on the roads, who are suffering due to this lockdown and who cannot afford to have food unless they work every day. There are many millions of people like that. So, with that direction, we have already discussed, and Mr. Nimesh has already given a call to the Satya Sai organization across the country to engage themselves in community kitchens, start community kitchens, and wherever possible in samiti levels and bhajan mandir levels, and wherever required. If food is to be given, we must provide that food, but with a condition that we must maintain the social distancing norms and take all the precautions, personal precautions, at the same time hygiene precautions, and then serve food. That's one thing which we have already given go ahead for all the volunteers. As you know, Satya Sai organization has lakhs of 6 lakhs volunteers. We have more than 10,000 centers in this country. Swami's reach is very, 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 very far and wide. Swami is, of course, is universal. His reach is universal. He can reach any place. But Satya Sai organization also, in the has created that much kind of a network. We work almost in 550 districts in the country. So with the wide network, and also with Satya Sai being recognized and called at national level that, here is a service organization. That's very important for all of us. In fact, a lot of people have sent me congratulatory messages when Honorable Prime Minister included in his list of invitees for this meeting, Sri Satya Sai Central Trust and Satya Sai Organization. But for me, when I view it, our responsibility has gone up. Now, we need to be more responsible and more into focused seva. But we must make use of this beautiful platform created by Avatar himself. And this is more of a sadhana. This is not like an NGO where non-governmental organizations do. This is a spiritual organization which Swami has started. So this is a beautiful platform which Swami and Avatar has created for us to realize our own selves through service. Treat Satya Sai, any seva that is being done by Satya Sai organization, it's to be treated as a sadhana. It should be assimilated as a sadhana to travel inside, to go inside, to grow inward is what Swami has started this organization for. The very purpose of this organization is to grow inward. If you see 9-point code of conduct, the first sentence what Swami says is, this organization is set up for self-realization. So, I think it's a beautiful opportunity. In our duty towards the nation, we also have contributed around 5 crore rupees to PM CARES, Prime Minister's COVID fund. We're also contributing another 5 crore rupees to Andhra government Chief Minister's relief fund. In all and all, we are 12 to 15 crores we are spending towards this COVID relief fund, which comes to around $2 million. But we cannot quantify in any monetary terms or any other terms the seva which is carried out by the devotees and volunteers of Sri Satya Sai Organization or Satya Sai Trust. That is invaluable. People with lot of money are seeking help today. You have seen in the Western countries. So, I was just reading a small, now a lot of WhatsApps and messages are floating around. A son has written about the father's plight. He says his father is 73 years old and 73 years he was breathing the air freely from God, from nature. Today, one day breathing costs $5,000. So money is not the one which is going to help you at this time. It's love, it's affection, it's following the principles of God. Many times I wonder why humanity is going through this particular crisis. Maybe I just feel sometime we have taken things for granted. I think this whole nature, whole creation belongs to God. We are only tenants here. We should not forget that. Now at least let us go back to Him and ask Him for forgiveness and say, we'll keep the house, the home which You have given, the beautiful home You have given to us, the way it is so beautiful. It's a time we should reflect, we should introspect. Only divine love will protect us. Not the power, not the authority, not the money, nothing. We have seen in this current medical emergency, the heads of the states, kings, queens, tycoons, celebrities, everybody is at the same platform, at the same level. It's a great equalizer. Today, an unseen, a speck of God is bringing everybody on their knees. Corona is just a protein. Very, very small. It's in some micron. if God unleashes us just a speck, it can come to grinding halt. We will be made to sit on our knees. We must realize this. So let's not worry too much and run too much behind things which are not going to protect you. This is what we are witnessing. We never thought we will get to see a situation like this in 21st century, but we are doing it. Perhaps this is a wake-up call from God. It's a way Mother Nature is reacting. There are 84 lakh species in the creation. Human beings are only one among them. If we destroy the home, which is also home for them, be it plants, be it animals, be it birds, be it fish, all of them would have gone to God and said, please, one guy is creating a lot of problems for us, these human beings. Please tell them, please warn them, we also are staying here. Perhaps that's why this time I think God wanted us to take note of this and given us a warning. This beautiful organization, Sri Satya Sai organization, always stood whenever there is a calamity or a problem situation faced by any of the brothers and sisters anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world for that matter. We had a tsunami, and when Satya Sai organization people were there to serve. We have flood situation in Kerala, we have seen in Orissa, earthquake in Gujarat. Every time Swami was there and Swami was guiding everybody. And many a places, even now, if you ask local people, they say Satya Sai organization volunteers were the first to reach any calamity place, any such location. That spirit is amazing. Brothers and sisters, I would like to tell you some very interesting thing, or something very inspiring also. We have nearly 1200 volunteers on the Prashanthi Nilayam. We have come for seva due to the lockdown that is announced by the government. They could not go back. Whatever difficulty they are having, they are still trying to do their best to give service here in Prashanthi Nilayam. I can't say, my heart wells up the kind of dedication that they are showing. Some of them are elderly parents. Due to lockdown, they can't go out and bring things for themselves. Somebody's husband had a heart attack. One family said they had their daughter had a miscarriage. Somebody lost their father-in-law. They are unable to go. Various things. Some of them have left their children in the neighbor's house and come for thinking it's 3-4 days or 1 week. But they are locked up. It only shows, even now with smile, though their hearts are heavy, with a smile on their face, with a scarf around their neck, so beautifully they are going round in the Prashanthi Nilayam doing their duties. Where else on this planet you get to see something like that? Is it not the true love of God which makes them to do this? If you have to see miracles, this is only a miracle. There are no greater miracle than this. We are very fortunate and we are very, very lucky that we are working in our lives for a divine mission, a divine cause. For this, we are ever grateful to Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba that he has bestowed an opportunity for all of us to fulfill our lives by serving at his lotus feet. And we cannot thank him enough for this glorious opportunity of our lives. I only seek blessings from him, not only for people who are here. People are working in various parts of the country, various parts of the world. I pray to Swami to bless entire humanity and help them to come out of this crisis at the earliest, so that his children again can meet in this beautiful abode of Prashanthi Nilayam, Kulwanthal is empty. We are all waiting to see you all again, singing His glory at the lotus feet of Swami. Brothers and sisters, we will be waiting for you all. We are trying to keep Prashanti as clean and as safe as possible. I am sure our prayers are with you, and likewise, all your prayers are with us. Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listener, what you just heard was a talk by Mr. R.J. Ratnakar, the managing trustee of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, who shared his reflections about the current pandemic and also outlined the steps taken by the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust to reach out to society in these troubled times. Let's pray that peace and normalcy returns to the world soon, and people are able to come out, come to Prashanti again to soak themselves in the sublimity and serenity of His love and grace. Dear listener, in mitigating the pain and suffering caused by the spread of the COVID-19, we will also be having collective prayers for global well-being, titled Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah. Do also join us in these online prayer sessions by tuning in to Asia Stream or Radio Sai YouTube channel or Sri Sathya Sai Baba Facebook page today from 10:30 a.m. and also in the evening from 6:45 p.m. The time right now in our studios is 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and now it's time for readings from Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account on the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. We are thankful to Vasanti Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead, and praying to Lord Almighty that the pandemic caused by the coronavirus be eradicated and all the suffering come to an end at the earliest. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu.
Chapter 15. Naradiya Kirtan Paddhati, Mr. Cholkar's Sugarless Tea, Two Lizards. The readers may remember that mention was made in the 6th chapter regarding the Ram Navami festival in Shirdi, how the festival originated, and how in the early years there was great difficulty in getting a good Haridas for doing Kirtan on those occasions, and how Baba permanently entrusted this function to Dasganu, and how he has been doing it successfully ever since. In this chapter, we shall describe the manner in which Dasganu has been doing the Kirtan. Naradiya Kirtan Paddhati. Generally, our Haridas, while doing the Kirtan, wear a gala and a full dress. They put on a headdress, either of heta or a turban, a long flowing coat with a shirt inside, an uparani on the shoulders, and the usual dhotar from the waist below. After dressing himself in this fashion for some Kirtan in the Shirdi village, Dasganu once went to Baba for prostrating before him. Baba asked him, "Well, bridegroom, where are you going dressed so beautifully like this?" "For doing a Kirtan," came the reply. Then Baba said, "Why all the show, coat, uparani, feta? Lay off all that before me. Why wear them on the body?" Dasganu immediately took them off and placed them at Baba's feet. Thenceforth, Dasganu never wore these things while doing the Kirtan. He was always bare from waist upwards. A pair of chiplis was in his hand and a garland around his neck. This is not in consonance with the practice generally followed by all the Haridas, but this is the best and the purest method. The sage Narada, from whom the Kirtan Paddhati originated, wore nothing on his torso and head. He carried a veena in his hand and wandered from place to place singing the glory of the Lord. Mr. Cholkar's Sugarless Tea. Initially, Baba was known in Pune and Ahmednagar districts, but Nana Sahib Chandorkar, by his word of mouth, and Dasganu, by his splendid kirtans, spread the fame of Baba in the Konkan. In fact, it was Dasganu, may God bless him, who by his beautiful and inimitable kirtans made Baba available to so many people there. The audience who come to hear the kirtans have different tastes. Some like the erudition or learning of the Haridas, some is gestures, some is singing, some his wit and humor, some is preliminary dissertation on Vedanta, and some his main theme, and so on. But among them, there are very few who by hearing the kirtan get faith and devotion or love for God or saints. The effect of hearing Dasganu's kirtans on the minds of audience was, however, electric, as it were. We give an instance here. Dasganu was once doing his kirtan and singing the glory of Sai Baba in the Kaupineshwar temple in Thane. One Mr. Cholkar, a poor man, serving as a temporary employee in the civil courts in Thane, was amongst the audience. He heard Dasganu's kirtan most attentively and was much moved. There and then, he mentally bowed and vowed to Baba, saying, "Baba, I am a poor man, unable to support my family. If by your grace I pass a departmental examination and get a permanent post, I shall go to Shirdi, fall at your feet and distribute sugar candy in your name." As luck would have it, Mr. Cholkar did pass the examination and did get the permanent post, and now it remained for him to fulfill his vow. The sooner the better. Mr. Cholkar was a poor man with a large family to support, and he could not afford to pay for the expenses of a Shirdi trip. As is well said, one can easily cross over Nane Ghat in Thane district or even the Sahyadri range, but it is very difficult for a poor man to cross the Ambar Ghat, the threshold of his own house. As Mr. Cholkar was anxious to fulfill his vow as early as possible, he resolved to cut down his expenses and save money. He decided not to use sugar in his diet and began to take his tea without it. After he was able to save some money in this way, he came to Shirdi, took Baba's darshan, fell at his feet, offered a coconut, and distributed it with a clean conscience along with sugar candy. He said to Baba that he was much pleased with his darshan and that his desires were fulfilled that day. Mr. Cholkar was in the masjid with his host Bapu Sahib Joe. When the host and the guest both got up and were about to leave the masjid, Baba spoke to Joe as follows: "Give your guest a cup of tea fully saturated with sugar." Hearing these significant words, Mr. Cholkar was much moved. He was wonder struck. His eyes were filled with tears and he fell at Baba's feet again. Mr. Joe was also curious about this direction. Baba wanted, by his words, to create faith and devotion in Cholkar's mind. He hinted, as it were, that he got the sugar candy as per his vow and that he knew fully well his secret determination not to use sugar in his diet. Baba meant to say, "If you spread your palms with devotion before me, I am immediately with you day and night. Though I am here physically, still I know what you do beyond the seven seas. Go wherever you wish over the wide world, I am with you. My abode is in your heart, and I am within you. Always worship me, who is seated in your heart, as well as in the hearts of all beings. Blessed and fortunate indeed is he who knows me thus." What a beautiful and important lesson Baba had thus imparted to Mr. Cholkar. Two Lizards. Now, we close this chapter with the story of two little lizards. Once Baba was sitting in the masjid. A devotee sat in front of him when a lizard tick-ticked. Out of curiosity, the devotee asked Baba whether this tick-ticking of the lizard signified anything good or was it a bad omen. Baba said the lizard was overjoyed as her sister from Aurangabad was coming to see her. The devotee sat silent, not making out the meaning of Baba's words. Immediately, a gentleman from Aurangabad came on horseback to see Baba. He wanted to proceed further, but his horse would not go as it was hungry and wanted grams. He took out a bag of grams from his shoulders and dashed it to the ground to remove the dirt. A lizard came out from there and in the presence of all climbed up the wall. Baba asked the questioner devotee to mark that well. The lizard at once went strutting to her sister. Both sisters met each other after a long time, kissed and embraced each other, whirled around and danced with love. Where is Shirdi and where is Aurangabad for the lizard? How should the man on horseback come there from Aurangabad with the lizard? And how should Baba make the prophecy of the meeting of the two sisters? All this is really very wonderful and proves the omniscience, the all-knowing nature of Baba. Postscript. He who respectfully reads this chapter or studies it daily will get all his miseries removed by the grace of the Sadguru Sai Baba. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 16 and 17. Quick Brahma Gyan. These two chapters relate the story of a rich gentleman who wanted Brahma Gyan quickly from Sai Baba. Preliminary. The last chapter described how Mr. Cholkar's vow of small offering was completed and accepted. In that story, Sai Baba showed he would accept with appreciation any small thing offered with love and devotion. But if the same thing was offered with pride and haughtiness, he would reject it. Being himself full of Sai Chit Anand, pure consciousness, knowledge and bliss, he did not care much for mere outward formalities. But if an offering was made in a modest and humble spirit, the same was welcome and he accepted it with pleasure and avidity. In fact, there is no person more generous and benevolent than a Sadguru like Sai Baba. He cannot be compared to the Chintamani Jewel, the Kalpatru or the Kamadenu. They give us only what we desire. But the Sadguru gives us the most precious thing that is inconceivable and inscrutable. Now let us hear how Sai Baba disposed of a rich man who came to him and implored him to give him Brahma Gyan. There was a rich gentleman. Unfortunately, his name and whereabouts are not mentioned. He was very prosperous in his life. He had amassed a large quantity of wealth, houses and lands, and had many servants and dependents. When Baba's fame reached his ears, he said to a friend of his that he was not in want of anything, and so he would go to Shirdi and ask Baba to give him Brahma Gyan, which if he got, would certainly make him more happy. His friend dissuaded him, saying, "It is not so easy to know Brahma, and especially for an avaricious man like you, who is always engrossed in wealth, wife and children. Who will in your quest of Brahma Gyan satisfy you, who does not give away even a paisa in charity?" Not minding his friend's advice, the fellow engaged a return journey and came to Shirdi. He went to the masjid, saw Sai Baba, fell at his feet and said, "Baba, hearing that you show the Brahma to all who come to you, I too have come here all the way from my distant place. I am much fatigued by the journey, and if I get the Brahma Gyan from you, my troubles will be well paid and rewarded." Baba then replied, "Oh my dear friend, do not be anxious. I shall show you the Brahma. Many people come to me and ask for wealth, health, power, honor, position, cure of diseases and other temporal matters. Rare is the person who comes to me and asks for Brahma Gyan. There is no dearth of persons asking for worldly things, but persons interested in spiritual matters are very rare. I think it is a fortunate and auspicious moment when persons like you come and ask me for Brahma Gyan. So forthwith, I show to you with pleasure the Brahma with all its accompaniments and complexities. Saying this, Baba started to show him the Brahma. He made him sit there and engaged him in some talk and thus made him forget his question for the time being. Then he called a boy and told him to go to one Nandu Marwadi and get from him a loan of 5 rupees. The boy left and returned immediately saying that Nandu was absent and his house was locked. Then Baba asked him to go to Bala Grocer and get from him the said loan. This time too the boy was unsuccessful. The experiment was repeated again twice or thrice with the same result. Sai Baba was, as we know, the living and moving Brahma incarnate. Then someone may ask, why did he want the paltry sum of 5 rupees and why did he try hard to get it? Really, he did not want the sum at all. He must have been fully knowing that Nandu and Bala were absent, and he seemed to have adopted this procedure as a test for the seeker of Brahma. That gentleman had a roll or bundle of currency notes in his pocket, and if he was really earnest, he would not have sat quiet and been a mere onlooker when Baba was frantically trying to get a paltry sum of 5 rupees. He knew that Baba would keep his word and repay the debt, and that the sum wanted was insignificant. Still, he could not make up his mind and advance the sum. Such a man wanted from Baba the greatest thing in the world, the Brahma Gyan. Any other man who really loved Baba would have given him 5 rupees at once instead of being a mere onlooker. It was otherwise with this man. He advanced no money, nor did he sit silent, but began to be impatient, as he was in a haste to return and implored Baba, saying, "Oh Baba, please give me the Brahma Gyan soon." Baba replied, "Oh my dear friend, did you not understand all the procedure that I went through, sitting in this place, for enabling you to see the Brahma? It is in short this, for seeing Brahma, one has to get 5 things, that is surrender 5 things of 5 pranas, 5 senses, mind, intellect and ego. This path of Brahma Gyan or self-realization is as hard as to tread on the edge of a razor." Sai Baba then gave a long discourse on the subject, the essence of which is given below. Qualifications for Brahma Gyan or self-realization. All persons do not see or realize a Brahma in their lifetime. Certain qualifications are absolutely necessary. Moksha, or intense desire to get free. He who thinks that he is bound and that he should get free from bondage and works earnestly and resolutely to that end and does not care for any other thing is qualified for the spiritual life. Second, virakti, or a feeling of non-attachment with the things of this world and the next. Unless a man feels disgusted with the things, emoluments and honors which his actions would bring in this world and the next, he has no right to enter into the spiritual realm. Third, antarmukh, introversion. Our senses have been created by God with a tendency to move outward, and so man always looks outward and not inward. He who wants self-realization and immortal life must turn his gaze inwards and look to his inner self. Catharsis, which is eliminating all base ideas and emotions. Unless a man has turned away from wickedness and stopped from doing wrong and has entirely composed himself, and unless his mind is at rest, he cannot gain self-realization even by means of knowledge. Fifth, right conduct. Unless a man leads a life of truth, penance and insight, a life of celibacy, he cannot get God realization. Sixth, preferring Shreyas to prayers. These are 2 sorts of things, namely the good and the pleasant. The former deals with spiritual affairs and the latter with mundane matters. Both these are open to man for acceptance. He has to think and choose one of them. The wise man prefers the good to the pleasant, but the unwise, through greed and attachment, chooses the pleasant. 7th, control of the mind and the senses. The body is the chariot, and the self is its master. Intellect is a charioteer, and the mind is its reins. The senses are the horses, and the sense objects are their parts. He who has no understanding and whose mind is unrestrained has his senses unmanageable, like the stray horse of a charioteer. It does not reach its destination, but goes through the round of births and deaths. But he who has understanding and whose mind is restrained has his senses under control. Like the good, obedient horse of a charioteer, it reaches its destination. That is a state of self-realization when he is not born again. The man who has understanding of his charioteer and is able to rein his mind reaches the end of his journey, which is the supreme abode of all-pervading Lord Vishnu. 8th, purification of the mind. Unless a man discharges satisfactorily and disinterestedly the duties of his station in life, his mind will not be purified. And unless his mind is purified, he cannot get self-realization. It is only in the purified mind that vivek or disattachment to the unreal crops up and leads on to self-realization. Unless egoism is dropped, avarice is got rid of, and the mind is made desireless, self-realization is not possible. The idea that I am the body is a great delusion, and attachment to this idea is a cause of bondage. Leave off this idea and attachment, therefore, if you want to reach the goal of self-realization. 9th, the necessity of a guru. The knowledge of the self is so subtle and mystic that no one could, by his own individual effort, ever hope to attain it. So the help of another person, a teacher, who has himself got self-realization, is absolutely necessary. What others cannot give with great effort and pain can be easily gained with the help of such a teacher, for he has walked on the path himself and can easily take the disciple step by step on the ladder of spiritual progress. 10th, lastly, the Lord's grace is the most essential thing. When the Lord is pleased with anybody, he gives him vivek and vairagya and takes him safe beyond the ocean of mundane existence. The self cannot be gained by the study of Vedas, nor by intellect, nor by learning. He whom the self chooses gains it. To him the self reveals its nature, says the Katha Upanishad. After the dissertation was over, Baba turned to the gentleman and said, "Well, sir, there is in your pocket the Brahma in form of 50 times of 5 rupees. Please take that out." The gentleman took out from his pocket the bundle of currency notes, and to his great surprise found on counting them that there were 25 notes of 10 rupees each. Seeing this omniscience of Baba, he was moved and fell at Baba's feet and craved for his blessings. Then Baba said to him, "Roll up your bundle of Brahma, namely the currency notes. Unless you completely get rid of your avarice or greed, you will not get the real Brahma. How can he whose mind is engrossed in wealth, progeny and prosperity expect to know the Brahma without removing his attachment for them? The illusion of attachment or the love for money is a deep, eddy whirlpool of pain, full of crocodiles in the form of conceit and jealousy. He who is desireless can alone cross this whirlpool. Greed and Brahma are asunder as poles. They are eternally opposed to each other. Where there is greed, there is no room for thought or meditation of the Brahma. Then how can a greedy man get this passion and salvation? For a greedy man, there is no peace, neither contentment nor steadiness. If there be even a little trace of greed in the mind, all the sadhanas are of no avail. Even the knowledge of a well-read man who is not free from the desire of the fruit or reward of his actions is futile and cannot help him in getting self-realization. The teachings of a guru are of no use to a man who is full of egoism and who always thinks about the sense objects. Purification of mind is absolutely necessary. Without it, all our spiritual endeavors are nothing but useless show and pomp. It is therefore better for one to take only what he can digest and assimilate. My treasury is full, and I can give anyone what he wants, but I have to see whether he is qualified to receive my gift. If you listen to me carefully, you will certainly be benefited. While sitting in this masjid, I never speak any untruth. When a guest is invited to a house, all the members of the household and other friends and relations that happen to be present are entertained along with the guest. So all those that were present in the masjid at that time could partake of the spiritual feast that was served by Baba for the rich gentleman. After getting Baba's blessings, one and all, including the gentleman, left the place quite happy and contented. There are many saints who, leaving their houses, stay in forest caves or hermitages and in solitude in order to get liberation or salvation for themselves. They do not care for other people and are always self-absorbed. Sai Baba was not such a type. He had no home, no wife, no progeny, nor any relations near or distant. Still, he lived in the world. He begged his bread from four or five houses, always lived at the foot of the neem tree, carried on worldly dealings and taught all the people how to act and behave living in this world. Rare are the sadhus and saints who, after attaining God vision, strive for the welfare of the people. Sai Baba was the foremost of these, and therefore says Hemad Pant, blessed is the country, blessed is the family, and blessed are the chaste parents, where this extraordinary, transcendent, precious and pure jewel, Sai Baba, was born. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 18 and 19. How Hemad Pant was accepted and blessed. Stories of Mr. Sathe and Mrs. Deshmukh. Encouraging good thoughts to fruition. Variety in Upadesh. Teachings regarding slander and remuneration for labor. In the last two chapters, Hemad Pant described how a rich gentleman, aspiring for quick Brahmagyan, was treated by Baba. Now, in these two chapters, he describes how Hemad Pant himself was accepted and blessed by Baba, how Baba encouraged good thoughts and fructified them, and his teachings regarding self-improvement, slander, and remuneration for labor. Preliminary. It is a well-known fact that the Sadguru looks first to the qualifications of his disciples and then gives them suitable instructions. Without unsettling their minds in the least, he leads them on towards the goal of self-realization. In this respect, some say that what the Sadguru teaches or instructs should not be divulged to others. They think that their instructions become useless if they are published. This view is not correct. The Sadguru is like a monsoon cloud. He pours down profusely and scatters widely his nectar-like teachings. These we should enjoy and assimilate to our heart's content and then serve others with them without any reservation. This rule should apply not only to what he teaches in our waking state, but to the visions he gives us in our dreams. To quote an instance, Buddha Kaushik Rishi published his celebrated Ram Raksha Stotra, which he had seen in his dream. Like a loving mother forcing bitter but beneficial medicines down the throats of her children for the sake of their health, Sai Baba imparted spiritual instructions to his devotees. His method was not veiled or secret, but quite open. The devotees who followed his instructions got their object. Sadgurus like Sai Baba open our intellect and show us the divine beauty of the self and fulfill our tender longings of devotion. When this is done, our desire for sense objects vanish. Twin fruits of Vivek and Vairagya come to our hands and knowledge sprouts up even in the sleep. All this we get when we come in contact with saints and serve them and secure their love. The Lord who fulfills the desire of his devotees comes to our aid, removes our troubles and sufferings and makes us happy. This progress of development is entirely due to the help of the Sadguru, who is regarded as a Lord himself. Therefore, we should always be after the Sadguru, hear his stories, fall at his feet and serve him.